Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you by Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun Aleph. And the last thing we discussed was the basis of the Machlokas as to whether it was, the latest part that we brought was the basis of the Machlokas as to whether it was okay to make the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash out of wood. But, that was an extension of the other question, which was bichlal, whether ikar shira bepeh or ikar shira bekli. And that was what we thought was clearly, according to Rabbi Yosef, that was the question about the kelim that were going to be used for the manginot, which was a machlokes as to whether it was be deicha Shabbos or not deicha Shabbos. And there we had a sub-machlokas about whether we're talking about the kelim that were being used at the time that we brought the karbonas, or we were talking about the kelim that we were using at the time that we were making the music for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. So the last thing that we had spoken about was that it isn't really necessarily true that the machlokas revolved around the question of Ikar Shira B'Kli or Ikar Shira B'Peh, and with other possibilities like Danin Efshar Mishi Efshar, the question about whether the Avuv of Moshe Rabbeinu was the Makor of the Kelim, or whether Menorah was the Makor of the Kelim, or whether the Machlokas was a goof about the Menorah, how do we darshan it, but Klal Prado Klal, or Beribui Miot Ribui. So we had a lot of different possibilities. But in the context of those possibilities, we had discussed the major sugya about whether the halacha is that the shira that is b'chuyav on the korbanos is the main point of that, the singing, the human singing alone, and the other issues of the orchestra, those were just additions, or was that part of the ikar mitzvah, in which case it would be a deraisa aveda. So today, Rav Papa suggests at the bottom of Amud Beis, and in Amud Beis, the last two words, Rav Papa, actually, this question of Ikar Shira Bepeh, Ikar Shira Bekli is a machlokes tanoi, because we have a Mishnah, just say it's not, we have a Mishnah in Arachin that questions different shitas as to who were the people that were playing the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. It says over there that as they were playing for the korbanos, this is not talking about the simple space of Shoeva. It's talking about the real thing when we were doing the Aveda of the Hakrova Satomi. So there it says that according to Rabbi Meir, the people that were playing were Avdei Kohanim Hayu. They were Avonim. They were Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. They were very, very, very important families, noble families that were very miuchasot, Mishpachat Beit HaFagrim, Mishpachat Beit Sifrayov, where they were from Emmaus, where there were a lot of important people. Shohayo Mesi in the Kuhuna, these were people that were, their children were so miuchasim that it was mutter for the Kohanim to marry into them. They were considered to be 100% kosher to marry to Kohanim. And then we have yet another more chabur shita, that according to Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, they were actually Levim. So my love, but Kamifuge. So what is the machlokas over here about who they were? Lechora, this is just not a question of coincidence who they were. It was a question of who they needed to be, right? So apparently, says Rav Papa, my love, but Kamifuge. The very point of this machloka only makes sense if the issue is, do they need to be Levim? So the Mandi Amar Avadim Hayu, he owns Ikar Shira Bepeh. So everybody agrees that that has to be done only by Levim, and there was only Levim that were singing the human choir. That for sure was Levim. So the question over here is, but what about the people in the orchestra? So according to Rabbi Meir, the people in the orchestra could be the finest mumchim, that were the finest violin players in the world, and so on and so forth. These were very likely goyim. And because of that, they were in Avadim, and they were used. And meanwhile, the Levim were singing Bepeh. So it would appear. Masha Enkein, Mandi Omar, Levim Hayu, if you're like Chanina, that they needed to be Levim. So apparently it must be because Ikashir Bekli. And we didn't necessarily take the very best. We had to be limited to the pool of Levim and choose from between the Levim who were the ones that were the best musicians. Says the Gemara, but Tisbra, come on. How could that be the machlokas if you have two possibilities and you've got three shitas? I mean, so then what about the middle shita? How about according to Rabbi Yossi, who says they were Yisraelim or Miuchasim? I mean, so what does he hold? There's nothing that explains what he holds. I mean, Ika Savar Ika Shira Bepeh. So then if the best musicians were Avadim, so use Avadim. And Ika Savar Ika Shira Bekli. Then he would have to say that they're only Levim. How could he say that they were fine families? What does fine families have to do with it? If the Torah is telling me that it was the Aveda that was given over to the Levim, so what difference would it make? So obviously there's another issue here. You can't simply use a binary question to describe a three-part machlokas. Elo dekuleyama ikashira bepe. Look, what we could say is not like what Rav Papa said. What we could say is that everybody agrees that the orchestration, that was separate. It was a big, beautiful addition, but it did not require a niyam. So what then was the machlokas? The question is not about whether you took for granted, you made a leap, you said, must be that they were arguing about what would need to be, not what was. Actually, the machloket could very well be a machloket about what was. So, I mean, so who cares then? I don't understand. If you're not telling me a question has to do with the halacha, what do I care what was? So, lamar mafkamina. I mean, if everybody agrees that it was all the ikar mitzvah was bepeh, like you're saying, so what difference does it make who the musicians were? I don't understand. I'll tell you, it makes a very big difference. The difference is, there was a real machlokas over here. The machlokas over here was that, so there's two ways of learning this. The way that Tosus learns it is that kipshuta, that the question over here had to do with, first of all, let's decide who were the best musicians. Okay, so this was turned out that we have here a question of what was the actuality? So if we had determined that these were the best musicians, then we would basically, it would turn out that if the best musicians were Avadim, so then you could not make any kind of inference about the status of a person's yichus just because you saw him playing up there while the Levium were singing and you saw him in the orchestra. Oh, ma, this guy must be from a fantastic family. I'd love to marry into that family. They could be Avadim. So that would be the question. What level of the people that were there? The way the Tosfos understands Rashi, then the issue is, were we concerned that, since people are generally very impressed, so then that the people would end up being malef, if they saw someone that was working on the Duchen, they might assume that he's a Levi and that they would give him miser. Or they might assume that he's from a chashuva family, and then they'll marry into the kuna. And the question was, what level of the gezerah did we make that people may utilize the duchan in the wrong way? And accordingly, we limited who it is that we allow to be up there. So l'man l'miduchan l'yuchasin l'maaser kamiflege. So the man, the Amar Rebbe Meir, who said they were avadim, there was no gezerah, according to Rashi, or there was no status that people assumed, because we took Avadim, and therefore ein ma'ali meduchan liyuchsim v'lo l'maaser. So the practical implication is that just because you saw somebody up there, that doesn't mean you can give him your miser and assume that he's a Levi. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even mean you can marry into the family. It might not even be a completely kosher family. And Bandi Omar Reb Yossi, who said, well, they were Yisraeli, they were miyuchasim, he held that kasava ma'ali meduchan liyuchsim v'lo l'maaser. So that we're worried, okay, and then the way Rashi would understand it, we're worried about the Aliyah L'Yuchsin, which could involve a D'oraisa, and we're not concerned about giving him Meiser, because what's the worst that's going to happen? A Jew who's not a Levi will eat Meiser. Meiser is an usser for other people. It's just the idea, you won't be usher mitzvah nesina. No, okay, not the end of the world. It's not the same thing as marrying an usser woman. Okay, so that we didn't want to be concerned about. Mashenken Reb Chanina, who said that they were Levim, Reb Chanina ben Atignas, he holds Ma'ali Miduchin, Bein Leyuchsin, Bein Lemaiser, and because of that, we had to make certain, according to Rashi, the Gezera in advance, or according to Tosfos, that was the implication of the reality of finding the best musicians from among the pool of Levim. Okay, anyway, so now let's get back to the original Machlokas that we had between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So we had assumed up until now that the Braisa that we originally had brought of the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim about whether, in fact, there was a Dechia of Shabbos and Yontif for playing music in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question was, Rabbi Yosef said yesterday, look, let me explain this, that the whole Machlokas is only about the issue of the songs that were being played at the time of the Hakrovas HaKorbonos. But when it comes, says Rabbi Yosef, to the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, nobody held that that would be Derech HaShabbos. Why would it be Derech HaShabbos? It's clearly not an Aveda. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba says the exact opposite is true, and I disagree with Rabbi Yosef entirely on both ends. I'm telling you, but Dafka, it's the other way around. Everybody holds that when it comes to these songs that were being played with the Korbanos, of course it would be Deicha. I don't understand. Why wouldn't it be Deicha? It's part of the Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash. You're telling me that the Chachamim would be goes that don't play musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mokum of Zrizim, for something that was needed for the Korbanos. I don't give a hang if it's a Diraisa or if the mitzvah is part of the Ikar Shira or is not part of the Ikar Shira. The bottom line is, it makes no sense to me that anybody would say, don't play the music in the Beis HaMikdash. I just don't get it. On the contrary, the only machlokas was whether we should even make a gezeira when it comes to the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. That was the question. So the machlokas was bedavka b'shir shel Shoeva, because Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda says, and if it's for Simcha, and it's for Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash, so we should aser playing music on Shabbos? We should aser playing music on Yontif? This makes sense to you in the Beis HaMikdash? No, absolutely not. What does it have to do with whether it's a mitzvah in the Torah, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So therefore, it would be Deicha, whereas Rabbanan says, no, just for Gedorim of Simcha that are not directly Nogea the Aveda, that's Eina Deicha Shabbos. But Shir Shel Korban, there, of course, Divrei HaKol, that is an Aveda. And because of that, it doesn't mean it was an Aveda necessarily, that it was the Ikar Shira B'Kli, that we don't have to conclude. But the point of Shira is that it's an Aveda. It's called Avodah L'Avodah. That's the Avodah L'Avim. Why in the world would we ask for such a thing? So there, for sure, everybody is Meida, and that's Derech HaShabbos. So that means on two ends. There's this Machlokas between Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba and Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, nobody holds the Simchas Pesach Shoeva as Derech HaShabbos. And there's a machlokas about whether even the Shir Shel Korban is Derech HaShabbos. Whereas the opposite is Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba says nobody is concerned about playing music in the Shir Shel Korban itself. The only machlokas was, and here Rabbi Yossi, he was the one, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda was being matir, and he was saying, even for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, you can actually go ahead and play this music. Okay, so now we actually have a braisa that seems to disprove Rabbi Yosef. Meisvei, Shir Shel Shoeva doche et haShabbat. Here it says that according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says beferish, the shir of the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, not of the Karbanas. The shir of the Simchas Pesach Shoeva is doche Shabbat. Exactly the opposite of Rabbi Yosef. VeChachomim omrim, what are you talking about? It's not even doche Yontif. Forget about being doche Shabbat. So this is 100% a tiyufta to Rabbi Yosef, at least on that point. Is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda being matir the Simchas Pesach Shoeva? Yes, he is. And you know, the Simchas Pesach Shoeva was every single day of Sukkot, Yontif, Shabbos, made no difference. It was done with musical instruments. The Ramban actually brings in a tshuva that they would, apparently the minhag was, is that they would hire Goyish orchestras to play in the shul on Shabbos, to give people a good time in shul, and he said, well, what would be the issur to aser this for tzarech harabim in there where it's only an issur drabonon, even if a Jew does it? And so things have changed in terms of our music appreciation. Let me tell you, I mean, it wasn't a matter of Karl Bach. Let me tell you, I mean, we're talking about Bach, you know. Anyway, so this is clearly a tiyufta. At least at this one issue, it's a tiyufta. Question is it a tiyufta on both ends? And does it I mean, the inference over here is that since they argue about the Shir Shir Shoeva, maybe the Bryce is actually saying they only argue about the Shir Shir Shoeva, but actually the Shir Shir Korban, everybody is Meida, in which case it would be a Tiyuf to Rav Yosef on both sides. Because not only does it show that Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda does hold that you can be Dorcha the Shabbos for the Simchas Beis Shoeva, but it also seems to hold show that the Chachamim would not argue and they agree that you're certainly Dorcha for the Korban. It doesn't make any mention of the Korban. It only makes a mention of Simchas Beis Shoeva. So then that would mean that Rav Yosef would have to withdraw both parts of his opinion. Amalekha Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, well, not necessarily. Maybe they argue on both. You know, I mean, this part is only talking about, I admit that I was wrong about the question of whether they argue in Simchas Beis Shoeva. They do. But maybe they also argue about the Korbanos Yosef. So why did it only mention the Simchas Beis Shoeva? I'll explain that. That's coming to tell me. You should know that this Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda's opinion was so violently against making this gezeira against music in the Beis HaMikdash, and he even was matir that it was Beis HaShoeva, Dafila Shoeva, Nami Dachmir. Doesn't mean that there's no machlokas about the Korbanos. Excuse me? The Mishnah proves that you're wrong, okay? Because in the Mishnah it says, Zehu Chalil Shobet HaShoeva She'eno Docher Lo Et HaShabbat V'lo Et HaYom Tov. What are we referring to when we said that the Chalil is only the Chamisha V'Shisha? We're referring to the Chalil of Beit HaShoeva. So what's the point the Mishnah is making? That Zehu De'eno Docher, it's only this Chalil that's not Docher Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, obviously, this will show. Avo de Korban Docha. Apparently, the Chalil Shel Korban would be Docha. That's the whole point that the Mishnah is making. Because who's the author of this statement? Will you tell me, please? Could it be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Of course not. We just proved that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Docha Shabbos. So we can't say that the Mishnah that says that the Chalil only was 5 or 6 days is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the Chachamim. And the Chachamim are saying that we're only arguing on the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but the Shir Shel Korban would be Mameida. So forget about it. This is Tiyufta Rabbi Yosef Betarte. Tiyufta, this is 100%. There is no way to support either part of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. First of all, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda openly disagrees with the Chachamim about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And secondly, the Chachamim openly agree with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shir Shel Korban. So Rabbi Yosef is off. Okay, anyway, getting back to the question about Ikar Shir B'Kli, Ikar Shir B'Peh, what would be the basis of the Machlokas? As where the Torah says to sing, right? That's the Avodah L'Avodah. Then the Psukim in the Erechin, the Gemara brings Pasuk after Pasuk, song the Together of Shira. So where would we base the issue about whether it's the musical instruments or whether it's the human voice that is... by the way, I should just make it clear. When we say that the Ikar Shir B'Kli, we do not mean that you can get away without the choir. Everybody agrees that the Leviim are absolutely essential in terms of the choir. The question is whether Ikar Shir includes the Kli, not whether Ikar Shir is only the Kli and not the Peh. It's a little bit misleading. Anyway, so my time at Aman D'Yomer Ikar Shir B'Kli, where would we see in the Torah that the musical instruments themselves are fundamental to the Shira, Dichtiv. Vayomer Chizkiyahu la'alot ha'ola la'mizbeach, uv'eit hechel ha'ola, hechel shir Hashem ve'achatzotzot, v'ayidei klei David melech Yisrael. So over here we're talking about the rededication of the korbanos that were brought to be mechaper after Achaz, the Russia. After he had died, and Chizkiyahu dragged his body in order to show people about what a Russia he was, and they were mishabeachim, and then he was mekadesh everything again, got rid of all of the avodah zarah and everything that was wrong in the Beis Hamikdash. He was metaken, so he made like a new chinuch of the Beis Hamikdash, and at this point he says that when we start bringing the korban, that's when the singing and the instruments begin. These were the instruments of David Melech Yisrael and all of the, forget about Bach, we have David HaMelech and all of the things that he composed and all of the instruments that he designed. I mean, this is the real thing, baby. So you see that Chizkiyahu, he says, this is what we got to use in order to play that music. Whoa, That's pretty good raya. So my type of money, Amrika Shira Bepet. So where would he get the idea that it isn't that way? Well, if you take a look at the chinuch of the Beis Hamikdash Ayad Shloma, the original chinuch of the Beis Hamikdash, so over there in Divrei Hayomim it says, "Vayich echad the mechatzatrim ulmeshorim lashmia kol echad," so that they have this perfection in which the choir and the blowers of the trumpets. Now, wait a second, I'm here. The trumpets. There were trumpets in the orchestra, right? But there were also trumpets, of course, those were the trumpets that were mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu about blowing b'shas, which is what we did over here in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and then b'shas Tzora, and so on and so on. But that is not part of playing an orchestra. That's trumpeting. So it says, it doesn't mention anything over here about musical instruments. It just says that there was a complete and perfect merging of the sounds of the trumpets with the sounds of the people that were singing. And it doesn't mention one word about musical instruments. So apparently the musical instruments weren't choshev. Otherwise, how could it just say, Now, Tosis points out that this is, to say the least, a little bit misleading, because if you continue to read the pasuk, the end of the pasuk says, Lashmia kol echad, yes, continue reading. Lahalel olodot lahashem, ukeharim kol bechatzotzrot, umitzeltayim, ubekle hashir. It starts talking about the whole orchestra. So how in the world could you pretend that it doesn't say anything about the orchestra? You know, this is like CNN level reporting over here. Bring the first part and don't bring the last part. Then use that as a raya to the fact that there is no list. What's going on over here? Zatosa says that the point is that because of the way that the pasuk is constructed, that's the diyuk. Since the pasuk split it up, it says, Lahashmia kol echad lahalel odot lahashem. And then it says again, Bahalel Hashem, for with these Kli Hashir of the Mitzaltayim, and so on and so on. Why does it have two separate ilulim? That's goof of the point. Since it separates so clearly, on the one hand, between the Mechatzatzrim, which were not part of the orchestra, because it mentions again the Chatzotzrot that were part of the orchestra together with the Kli Hashir, and it calls this two different types of Halal and Shevach. So apparently, one of them was central. That was the initial one we're talking about, Bepeh. And then we need to add as a Bisume Kala. And obviously, everybody agrees that the musical accompaniment was so important. The question is whether it's essential, not just whether it's important. Okay, so that's Gufei Hizraya, that since over here it's separate, it must mean that it's not all the same thing. Beautiful. So actually, this just gives us a much deeper appreciation of what the question was actually about in the pasuk, which is very, really very lovely.
Two separate times. Well, they used two separate times, mm-hmm. Different occasions.
No, it's the same occasion, but the way that the pasuk describes it is as if it's two different units. So on the one hand, we have the halal and the shevach that was being said by the mechatzatzrim and the mashmiya kol, which is bepeh, and then we had a separate halal, even though it was at the same time. What do you mean, a separate halal? Must mean that it's a different type of Aveda, and it's coming to tell us, don't make the mistake of thinking that this is all one thing. One is the Iker, and the other one is Bishume Kala, L'chora. So that seems to be the way Tosus understands. So I don't understand. I mean, each one of these Rayas is a pretty beautiful Raya. So, like, which one is true? So, Idach Nami, and if you hold that Iker Shira is Bepeh, how do you explain Chizkiyo as saying that we need all the musical instruments of David HaMelech? I mean, that's saying something. No, he says, of course we use those musical instruments. But this pasuk can also be interpreted as talking about two separate elements. And Hachika Amar, what it would be saying is, Hechel Shir Hashem. So then we started the shir. What was the shir? The shir was Bepeh. And then we added Al Yedei through the additional value of the musical accompaniment of David Melech Yisrael, Livisume Kala, to make everything so much more beautiful and sweet. But it doesn't mean that the Iker Echel Sher Hashem was defined by the clay David Melech Yisrael. So this pasuk can be understood also as two separate components of one Aveda. V'idach Nami. And so how does he learn, if he holds that the Iker Shira B'Kli, how does he understand the way that it was split up in the description of Shlomo HaMelech's chinuch? Doesn't it say Vayikachad b'chatzotzim l'mishorim on the one hand, and not mention at the beginning anything about the clay shear? No, hokikama. Mishorim dumya d'mechatzotzim. Why do you think it puts together the trumpeteers? Okay, because it wants to make a hekesh. Just like the Mechatzatzrim, by definition, can only do their performance with a kli, they can't simply go, oh, they need to have a kli in their hands. So if that's the case, it must mean that the Meshorim need to also be utilizing kelim, and therefore it needs to be an orchestra. So ma Mechatzatzrim b'kli, af Meshorim b'kli. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Mekeres to the nature of Aveda, and of course, as you know, Avodah la'Avodah, is the whole mikor of simcha, that all mitzvahs need to be done with that, this getter of simcha, in which case the simcha spesa shoyeva, and the ikar din of the simcha yisera, which is usamachtem, the idea of specific zman simcha senu, being sukkahs, this is precisely the time that we need to actually define what we mean exactly with that additional simcha shal mitzvah as it applied to the karbonis and to the dancing in the Beis HaMikdash itself, for the Nisach HaMayim. And this brings us to our very special Kapitan, all our own. Let me tell you something.
I'm feeling very self-conscious about this after hearing about all these beautiful voices.
That's right. And
what do you call it? I don't feel up to it. Maybe there's a Levy out there who would be willing to...
Somehow, I don't think that Mo Willie's up to it. I definitely don't think that Moshe Forman is up to it in terms of our local Levium. Gabi is probably asleep. There's another one of our Levians. I don't think we can go to him.
Levy Spector was a chazan.
Yeah.
And his daughter, Esther Malka Bas Levy's Yortzeitis today, named for Levy. If we could please have the rest of the learning, Leilu Nishmas, Esther Malka Bas Levy, I would appreciate it.
Only if it's part of Barnea's neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Sir Richard, it looks like there's a dearth of Levim who are ready to jump into your place. And so what we need is the noblemen, the Mishpachot Miuchasot that are all the way part of Amias and so on. And this is why you probably became a guide for Amias. So give it to us. I see it was well worth our introduction here. You definitely have it in you.
He came from Chazanim, right?
That's right. His grandfather was a beautiful Chazan, and he can share some of the recordings, I think, with us, if we can push him.
I can find him.
Okay. So here we are. And Misha lo ra'a simchat bet ha-shoeva lo ra'a simcha miyamav. Anybody who wasn't zeicha to see that simcha space of Shoeva, he never saw real sense of simcha in his life. And here's the way that now we get all the background to the simcha space of Shoeva, which before we just spoke about the actual moment of going out to draw the water and so on. Now this is the way that it started. Mitzvah Yontev Arishon Shachak. So at the end of the first day of Sukkot, and it's now Mitzvah Yontev, Yordu Le'ezrat Nashim, so the Kohanim and Levim, who were inside of the Ezras Yisrael, Dvorah, please mute yourself, were inside of the Ezras Yisrael, now they walk down into the Ezras Nashim. Remember that there were 15 ma'alot, those are the Tet Vav Ma'alot, and they would walk down those 15 stairs, and there in the Ezras Nashim, they would be mitaken a tikkun gadol. They would make this massive improvement. What is that? The Gemara is going to talk about. Menorot shel zahava yusham, and they had these beautiful lamps that were there, a candelabra, because they were like made like menorot, and arba'a sefalim shel zahava roshayam. So each one of these was like these gigantic street lamps kind of thing where they have like four bulbs coming out. These had four bowls, not bulbs, because they needed to burn oil in them. And arba'a sulamot lekol echad v'echad, every one of these enormous lights had four ladders that would be available to climb up and to pour oil into them. And they had the Arba'a Yiladim Mipirchei Kuna. This is all to make everything so beautiful and sweet. So they had these four kids that would clamber up these ladders. And B'yadeim kadim shomea ve'esrim lug, and they were carrying 30 lugs apiece, so that you would have 120 lugim in total. Tosfos Yontif says over here in the Mishnah that this is a remez to the Or HaTorah, and it's supposed to represent Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why it talks about the total specifically. This is very little bit strange if you're talking about each one of them carrying only 30 lug. Why you say, and in their hands were 120 lug? Shane Metilina called Sefel Vesefel, and they would pour this into every one of those bowls, and these bowls were arranged in all four directions, like street lamps of the same type. They would take the worn-out pants of the Kohanim and the belts of the Kohanim, and they would use that, they would tear those, and they would make these very thick wicks in order to make these enormous torches, and that's what they would light with. Now, obviously, Tosfos asks the obvious question, which is, well, why in the world would they not use the kotanot? The kotanot were also made out of linen and would have served exactly the same purpose. So what would be the idea of specifically using these begotten? And so, I mean, there's a lot of, I think that B'nai Yisachar particularly talks about it, that this is not a kasha at all. Because remember that each of the big day kahuna came as a kapora for a different thing. And the pants are mechaper on Arias. And the avnet is mechaper on Hirhurei Avera. And since that was the entire issue that was involved in the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, as we will see, then this became the perfect, appropriate place in order to do that. And the Rambam brings that the ketonot, those were used for making, indeed, the light of the menorah. And that's the menorah inside the Beis HaMikdash, which has to do with that which is inside, has to do with the Zikorain, and that has to do with Al Halev, and so on. That makes much more sense to bring from the ketonot. Masha Inkein, where you're dealing with issue of Arias, it makes much more sense to use underpants, doesn't it? And to use belts. And that's exactly what they used. Beautiful, beautiful remez. Anyway, this was so bright that lo haya chatzer b'Yerushalayim she'inah me'ira me'or beit ha'shoeva. The entire Yerushalayim was lit up by these lights from the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. And chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh hayu merakdim b'fnehem. And only, as we'll see, the people that could actually do the dancing were limited to dafka chasidim anshei ma'aseh. They would dance in front of the audience, or it means in front of these lights, or it means in front of the Leviim and Kohanim that had come down, whatever. We'll see how we understand it in the context of the Gemara. But avukot shel or shebideyem, and they, besides the lights that we're talking about, these enormous torches that were 120 lug, they were actually juggling four torches apiece, or eight torches apiece, lit torches that they could handle while they were aflame. I mean, let me tell you something. This was a show. And they would say all kinds of beautiful things you'll see in the Gemara. Meanwhile, the Leviim were sitting there on these stairs, and they were this beautiful orchestra playing b'kinorot to b'nevelim. There was every possible, just countless instruments. So they would use all of these various things, cymbals, trumpets, however you explain these things, violins, harps, lyres, whatever. On the Chamesh Esrim, Ma'alot Ha'yardot Mi'ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Nashim, and these 15 steps, those were connected to Shira Ma'alot, the 15 Shira Ma'alot, Shabbat Tehillim. And remember, where did those 15 Shira Ma'alot come from? They came from the Shittim. This David HaMelech was uncovering the Tehom. So here we've got the Nisach HaMayim, that is the Simcha of the reconstruction of the Mayim coming from the Tehom, that is now going to be offered onto the Mizbeach, to be Mekayim, the original Havdolah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavtiach. And this is the moment of Simcha at the end of Machlokas and all the horrors that we go through. Those Chamesh Esrei Shir HaMa'alot were composed after David HaMelech actually wanted the water level to go up. That was the Geder of Sota. And of course, the Geder of Sota is the Kapora on Erva and on Irur Alev, etc. So the entire thing is completely and totally wrapped up with each other. All of the various Ramazim and Avedas are deeply, deeply interconnected. So these 15 steps were the 15 Chiramalais, which become the steps that you go down to the Nisach HaMayin, which was connected, the steps that you brought up the water that was coming from the Tahom, when David sang those 15 Chiramalais. Sha'alayhem, Leviim, Omdim, Beklei Shir, Vomrim, Shira. Meanwhile, while everybody else was going down into the Ezra's Nashim, there were two Kohanim that would stand there at Shar Niknar, at the top of the 15 stairs, with these trumpets. And they, at the moment that it was time, for daybreak, the Korah Gever, which remember we had a Machlokas, is that referring to the rooster? Is it referring to Dvini Cruz? Well, however we defined it in Masechet Yomah, taku ve'riu v'taku on their trumpets, and that was the sign that we have to begin now going out in order to collect the water. So this was like the beautiful moment. And then the people that were going to bring the mayim, when they got to the 10th step, now it's not clear, is the 10th step from the 10th step from the bottom, 10th step from the top, that we're going to talk about. But the reason it's the 10th step is because we want to be machalic between Yud and Hey. As we're going to see, those are the two Olamos, Echad B'Yud and Echad B'Hey. And that was the Simcha for the Yom Nashek in which the two Olamos kiss. So they wanted to stand right at the kissing place, which is a 10th stair. And that's why we're going to be singing about Ka in a moment, about that shame specifically. Anyway, so when they came out, when they stood for a moment on the 10th step, toku ve'riu v'toku again. Then when they got down to the Azora, toku ve'riu v'toku, but they were ma'arich, and this was the tekia gedola ma'od, because they were tokin v'olchin ad shemigi'in l'shara yotzei mizrach. They walked all the way from Shar Niknar, and they walked all the way to the gate that was going out to the east, and at that point they were facing away from the Heichal, which is the marker of the Rambam, that you only face the Beis HaMikdash and walk backwards if you're in the Azara. But if you're in the Ezra's Nashim, then you can turn your back to the door of Shar Niknar, and apparently that's exactly what they did. And then when they got out of the gate that was to the east, they turned around. Avotenu shayu b'mokam is at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, like we saw in the horrible story of Yechezkel we saw earlier, that they were standing achoreim aleichal ufneim kedma mishtachmim kedma l'shemesh. They turned their backs to the Heichal, and they would bow down to the sun, and they would worship the sun, and they would moon the Heichal, as we said before. Va'anu l'ka einenu. As far as we're concerned, we only turn our eyes to the Shem Yud. Yud Kei, we just spoke about. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, they would repeat that shame, and they would say, Ayushonim v'omrim onu l'ka u'l'ka einenu. So this was all tikkun godol. This is all about a tikkun. And this tikkun was the continuation of the tikkun of Maisa Az of Azoel, which has everything to do with Arias and the original presence of Maisha Rabbeinu, which is the deeper reading for the 120 lug. The mice of Azav Azov, like Chulat Nashimi, Kol Asher Bacharu, and this Tikkun Gadol revolves entirely around what it is that we are supposed to do in order to be Mitaken, Hirhur Alev, and so on. Netun Rabbana. So now the Braita starts like the Mishnah. Misha lo ra'a simchat beit ha'shoeva, lo ra'a simcha mi'amav. However, this was part of a general thing. Misha lo ra'a Yerushalayim betir farta, doesn't know what a beautiful city is. Lo ra'a krach lechmad mi'olam. His imagination is not broad enough to be able to think what a beautiful city means. Misha lo ra'a beit ha'migdash b'vinyano. Lo ra'a binyan mefo'ar mi'olam. If you didn't see the Beis HaMikdash, you never saw what incredible beauty in a building could be. Which Beis HaMikdash? Mayi. I mean, we got a number of different Beit HaMikdash. I mean, not only the first, second, but we have the different levels of the binyan, remember. I mean, it started off, the binyan of Ezra was a pretty poor building. I mean, people burst into tears. It couldn't have been that beautiful. So, Mayi. Om Rabbi V'Temer of Chista, what we're talking about was the binyan of Hurdis, where he redid the entire, we saw Baba Basi, redid the entire Beis HaMikdash, and he made it the glory of the world. But my Bani, what did he use to build it? Omar Ravna, well, he used Avnei Shirsha, Shirsha Marmara. So what he used was marble, which was beige, marble, which was white, and others say marble, which was beige, white, but also blue. So he had stones that were beige, marble, blue marble, and white marble, and he would alternate rows, and Afik Shafa V'Ayel Shafa, he also had some of the rows were more recessed than the other rows, that way he would not have any mortar between the rows, because if by putting one row a little bit down, he was able to stick the mortar in the hole that wasn't exposed to be able to keep the marble in place, and therefore you never saw what appeared to be like bricks or marbles in which you could see each piece separate. It looked like one solid piece of marble, except different colors and different levels. And that way he could utilize the seat that held it together. Sovar l'mishayan b'dahava, and he had this idea, maybe he would cover the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold. And the Rabbanit said to him, no, don't do that. It's much more beautiful than it is. Than it would be if it was gold. Because the visual impact of this Beis HaMikdash is so stunning. When you look at it, you feel that you're looking at the surface of the sea with waves going up and down because of the coloration and the way that it moves your eyes as the, since it was three-dimensional besides being different colors. So this is even more beautiful than gold. By the way, the Rambam ends up paskening this line in the Gemara. Because when he talks about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, he says, whatever you can do to be fired the Beis HaMikdash, and if Bikshu L'chasos or B'Zahav, then you should do that. So obviously there was an inyan of Hurdus's thinking that he would do it in gold. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda adds in the Braisa, another thing that was an astonishing historical thing, and that was, Mi Shelo Ra'ah Hadyu Pluston, of Alexandria, Shel Mitzrayim, Lo Ra'ah Bechodan Shel Yisrael. If you never saw the Dupal Stone, Rashi says Dupal Stone is Greek for dew, so it was the dual. Palo is palo, like metropolitan. In other words, that's the politis. It has to do with the wealthy people. And stone is based on steel. So Dupal Stone is the beautiful dual benched gigantic building that was held up with these massive columns and so on. This was Kemid Basilica Gedolah. It was like this basilica that was Stau Lefnimi Stau. So it had these benches supported by columns, one inside the other. And this place could hold double the number of Jews that went out of Mitzrayim. Pamim Shayuba Shishim Ribo Shishim Rogo Kiflaim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim. So if you're looking for a nice shul with a big minion, this is not bad. 1,200,000 people is a good beginning. And this is what they used to have there. And they had Shivim Ve'achat Katedro Shel Zahav Keneged Shivim Ve'echad Shel Sanhedrin Gedola. They had made a symbol of the Sanhedrin, and that each one of these chairs was made out of solid gold so that each one of the Dayanim could sit in the solid gold. And every single one of them wasn't less than Esrim Ve'echad, the Grot Exal Ribo, because it's like insane. It's more gold than there is in the world. So Esrim Ve'echad Kikrei Zahav. And in the middle, they had this bima that was made out of wood, which is the bima that they would read the Torah from. And then the chazana Knesset, Omed Aleava Sudarim Biyados. They had the chazan standing there. The chazan, remember, is the one who's chose. He sees everything that needs to be done. And he would stand on that, and he had flags in his hands. And because they wouldn't use a mic, because Ramesh had paskin not to use a mic there in Alexandria anyway, so how did they let people know when they're supposed to say Amen, since if you were standing a mile away, it was a little bit difficult to hear the bracha. So then what would happen is they would make a bracha, and he would wave the flags, and then since everybody knew which bracha it was, so they were able to answer Amen. And Kivanchi Gia Lanot Amen, Hala Menif Bisudar, V'chola Amonim Amen. And, I mean, this was like it's an amazing thing, because this was the precursor of the whole concept of guilds. So what they had was, they had this place separated, you know, the guild houses in England, in which all the guilds would come together. And this was mamish a guild house. It's an incredible idea. Lo hayu yoshvim ha'oravim, ela zahavim bifnei atzmam, kasafim bifnei atzmam. So you had the goldsmiths, those were Now all that's left of the goldsmiths is the family goldsmith, you know. But these are still from the time of the guilds, right? So you have the kasafim b'fnei atzmim. You have people, families called silver. That's based on the silversmith. So each guild had its name for the family. And then you had, you know, Copperfield, David Copperfield, you know, you got to have. Then you also have the blacksmiths, or just Smith. That's Adam Smith. And those are the Napachim b'fnei atzman. So those were the smithies. The coopersmiths, those are separate. I'm sure we all know people by these names. The guardian b'fnei atzman, so the people who did the weaving would be themselves, Mr. Weaver. And kishya'ani nichnas l'sham, so if anybody needed help, haya makir ba'alei umunato, he would go directly to the area in which his guild was marked in this gigantic basilica. And there he could go, and they would help him out. Misham parnasato, uparnasat anshei beito. They would get him a job. They would give him tzedakah if he didn't have money, and so on and so forth. And this is actually what the guilds used to do. The problem was that it became, there's only one guild that's really powerful that's left. And if you take a look at the way they behave, you can see exactly why Adam Smith was so against these guilds. All of the leaders of the French Revolution were totally against the guilds, because the guilds basically controlled, first of all, they didn't let women in, okay, they didn't let Jews in. You needed to be a Christian, and they controlled the idea of the apprentices, and they would put the apprentices through hell so that they could use their work until they were fully apprenticed, didn't have to pay properly. There's only one guild left in the world that has that power. Those are the medical associations, and they do exactly the same thing today. They put the apprentices literally through hell. They have these poor doctors that are just go through absolute hell, work them 36 hours at a time, pay them a third of what they pay a cleaning woman, put them through years of different levels of hell, getting free work from them all the time. And this is exactly what Adam Smith said. You still have the American Medical Association that has defined all of these tests and all the things that you have to go. And it's like, it's unbelievable. You can't do anything about it. And there was the truth is that this wasn't the forerunner of the guilds. The guilds, amazingly, are mentioned all the way back in the Code of Hammurabi. There's already Mukher for guilds. But apparently this was like, Alexandria was like a major guild set, as the Gemara describes it. Anyway, what happened to all of these people? Omer Abaye, this entire incredible development, every last one of them was murdered by Alexandros Mokadon. Now, this makes absolutely no sense. They couldn't have been murdered by Alexandros Mokadon, because the city of Alexander, the Alexandria of Mitzrayim, was started by Alexander. So how in the world could they all have been murdered by Alexander? We're talking about over years, centuries afterwards, for heaven's sakes. The original people, was Yochanan ben Kereach, who ran away to Alexandria, were actually destroyed over there by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, but this, so there's all kinds of suggestions, but probably the best suggestion is to actually just change the gears then, instead of saying Alexandrus, to change the Agos, like the Agos Sagra. And he says Tarchinus, which is apparently the Trajan persecutions. That makes much more sense. So this was centuries afterwards. Anyway, so Kiaso and whoever it was, why would they all kill? Mishum da Avri Ahaikra, they were over on the mitzvah of Hashem, Loto Sifon Hashul Bader Chazeh, oh, never come back this way again to Mitzrayim. And they did. V'inu Hadar Asu. So Ki Asa, when this whoever it was, again, we'll read like the Grove, when Tarchinos came to Alexandria, he had come and found the Jews there in this immense place. They're reading from the Torah, and they're reading the pasuk Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Meirachok. So Dafka, they were reading this week's parsha, and he hears them reading this week's parsha. And he says, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will carry over you, meaning they'll swoop down on you. He says, God, I could not understand, how did I get here as quickly as I got here? I had made the journey with the assumption that it was going to take the Navy, it was going to take 10 days to get here. This incredible wind came, carried us over in half the time. It was like miraculous. So obviously, this is a reference to me. when it says Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Merachok, and so Nafal Avakatlinu, he murdered them all. And this is when this started. And then B'Matzah Yomtev, they made a Tikkun Gadol. What is the Tikkun Gadol? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kiltash Shaninu. The Ezras Nashim initially was just a straight wall that was made out of, this is the way Shlomo HaMelech made it, that was made out of stone. And they decided that they're going to put a wooden porch around the Ezras Nashim and make a Ezras Nashim on the upper part of the Ezras Nashim and then have the men down at the bottom of the Ezras Nashim. And the Shir Nashim Yashvot Milamala, the Tikkun Gadol, can you imagine, was to make a mechitza. It's unbelievable. So the Tikkun Gadol was they had the women on top, the men on the bottom. And the truth is, the Brisa says, Tanu Rabbanan Rishona, Yonashim Mibifnim V'Anashim Mibachutz. It's not like they had mixing. They always had a mechitza. But the women were on the inside of the Ezras Nashim, and the men were on the outside of the Ezras Nashim. This is the way it was originally, speaking of the women writers, you know. So the women are inside, the men can stand around on the outside and try to see through the doors or whatever. So, and Hayu Baimli De Kalutz Rosh, they would mix. And, you know, men would always manage to get into the Ezras Nashim, you know, look around, I'm coming just looking for my wife, you know, whatever. And therefore, they would be Baimli De Kalutz Rosh. So then they switched it, and they made up that the women should be outside, the men should be inside. But that didn't matter. They would still play games with each other. So Adayana Yobim Lide Kalos Rosh. So then they were Metakein, this final Tikkun Gadol, which was Yunashim Yashvot Milamala, Vianashim Milamata. And that way they had the women sitting on top and the men on the bottom. And the obvious question is, what right do you have to do this? Doesn't it say, Akob Ichtab Mihad Hashem Alai Skil? So Dovid HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, his son, Shlomo, this plans for the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, listen, I have an avias, this is, you're the one that's going to be building the Beis HaMikdash. I was Tereach for years with Shmuel HaNavi, and this is the Megillah with all of the plans of the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is B'yad Hashem. You have to keep all of these plans exactly. So how did they change the plans? That is the question that we will have to look into on Sunday. I shouldn't say Sunday, that's what they used to do, was pray to the sun. How that came about Sunday, can you imagine? My father, Zatzal, always used to say, one thing you can be sure of, that this business that they say, anything that Klal Yisrael ends up doing and is all kosher v'tar. He says, right, that's why in Yiddish you call the first day of the week, instead of the mitzvah d'oraisa, Rishon l'Shabbos, Sheni l'Shabbos, you call it Zuntak, Sunday, because ono l'kav l'kayinenu, great. So if it's in Yiddish, it must be kosher. It's like, yes, Rebarnea, shouldn't say Sunday.
And they are sifting through what was found in Har HaBayit. And there was a mathematician who was volunteering there, and she noticed pieces of marble. She figured out the flooring of Herod's Temple Mount and remade it. It's marble literally from all over the world in a different angle than the Roman angle. So there's pictures of it. There's a recreation of it. It's years and years of work.
Wow.
Soon there will be an exhibition about it, I think, in the Israel Museum.
Do you have any pictures you can post for us?
Yes, Lina.
The Beis HaMikdash is Barnea's neighborhood. Barnea's neighborhood. Anyway, I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Thanking you all for coming.